Well, good morning. We're glad that you're here. If you don't know, I'm Pastor Tim Dodd. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Point Church. And as I watch this video, it kind of is eye-opening in one regard, isn't it? Of how many people in the world have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come here every week and we hear about the Lord and we don't necessarily think about those unreached people groups. But you are part of we as Grace Point Church are part of this couple that we're partnering with to reach these unreached people groups. Chuck and Naomi Smith came to Practical Bible Training School, which is Davis College, which is now up in Scroon Lake. But while they were there, they came and served and helped here at Grace Point Church and the youth. And so when they began to go to a place where there was people who hadn't heard about Jesus, we partnered with them in 2000. And so they're coming here today to share about what's happened between then and now. That's only 22. Well, I say only. When you get older, 22 doesn't seem to be but it is quite a while, isn't it? And we're glad to be able to partner with them. And so Chuck and Naomi come and share what the Lord has been doing and how we can be more involved in reaching these unreached people groups. Glad to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here this morning. Great to see some familiar faces that we remember, and also great to see some new faces. So, we're really excited to be here, share a little bit about our ministry, a little bit about us. Just a small update on our family. Our family continues to grow. A lot of you remember when we would bring our three kids with us. Well, our oldest son, David, and his wife, Crystal, they have two little girls, Serenity and Maggie, and they're 8 and 5. Our daughter, Rachel, and her husband, Brian, have a little 2-year-old boy, Kaladin. And then our youngest son, Jordan, just got married last summer to Nikki. So, and like Pastor Dodd said, we've had the privilege of serving with Ethnos 360 and also serving with all of you for the past 23 years.
We spent 12 of those years serving in Paraguay, South America, among the Ayudé people. The Ayudé were a savage people group known for killing anyone they came in contact with. But we thank the Lord for the transformation we've seen in the lives of the Ayudé. There's now an Ayudé church with Ayudé pastors, and Ayudé pastors go to other villages and teach and reach and evangelize their own people now.
That's right. And God's heart has always been for all people to hear and know the gospel. In Genesis 18:18, it starts with God telling Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And then it has its fulfillment in Revelation 7:9, where a great multitude stands before the throne from every nation and tribe, people and language. But how can they hear and understand the gospel? Romans 10:14 and 15 ask that question. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
And that's the purpose of Ethnos 360. Ethnos 360 was founded in 1942 as a new tribe's mission, with the purpose of training men and women to go and reach unreached people groups in isolated places. When we enter a people group, we begin by learning their language and culture. These two must go hand in hand. You can't do one without the other, or there's going to be great misunderstanding.
Yes. Culture means understanding the heart of the people, and that's why they do what they do. So much of the culture is based on their worldview, and we need to understand that worldview if we're going to communicate with them cross-cultural. We have to do this before teaching is done.
There's an example of this in the Pacas Novos tribe in Brazil. After several people died due to illness, the missionaries felt they needed to speed up the presenting of the gospel. So the missionary with the best grasp of the language stood up and began to share. His delivery was animated. He wanted these people to know how important this message was. Another missionary, seated in the middle of the group, overheard one tribal man ask another what the missionary was talking about. And he responded, "Oh, don't pay any attention to him. He's just drunk." More time learning the culture and the language revealed that only when they were drunk did the Pacas Novos stand up and talk to a group of people. So everything the missionary said that day was discounted and ignored due to the culture of the people he was speaking to.
Once language and culture is learned, then teaching can begin. Ethnos 360 believes in teaching chronologically through the Bible. That means we begin with God, who He is, what His character is like. Then we start at Genesis and we work through the main topics of the Bible, ending with Christ's death and resurrection. And this is where knowing the culture is really crucial. Each people group is different and they have to be ministered to in their culture. We need to understand their worldview, because that's when, as we're teaching, we can bring up, when a topic comes up, we can say, this is what you believe, but this is what God's Word says.
We let God's Word tell them what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm. As teaching is done, translation of the Bible is also being done. Many hours of study must be done in order to have a Bible that is written in the people's heart language, one they can truly understand. Sometimes words or even concepts don't exist in another culture or language. An example of this is in most of tribes in the highlands of Papua New Guinea have never seen a sheep or a camel. So what do you do with Isaiah 53:6? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. Or Matthew 19:36, where Jesus said, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. For us, those concepts are easy. Sheep scatter and they need a shepherd. Camels are large and have a great difficulty going through small places. We know this, but those who have never seen these animals or even pictures of them have no idea. And these are concrete concepts. What do you do with concepts like grace or redemption, reconciliation, justification, and forgiveness?
We translate the Bible because we believe God wants to speak through His Word. Right now, Ethnos 360 has completed 1,550 translations, and there's 123 more in progress. Praise the Lord. God earnestly wants to communicate with His people, and to do this, they have to have access to the Word of God. People can't grow in their spiritual walk without the Word of God. And because of this, we teach literacy. It's so important for them to learn to read and write, because literacy is at the foundation of church planning, crucial to the life and growth of the church.
And you can see some of our literacy books out on our table there. Naomi and I had the privilege, when we worked with the IODA, of completely redoing their literacy program. The one that they originally had went from like a first grade, second grade level, and it jumped up to like a fifth or sixth grade. And for that reason, most of the people, even the pastors, really struggled with the ability to read. So it was a lot of fun. We absolutely loved doing literacy with them. But we want to do what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So right from the beginning, we look for capable people who can start helping us teach. Basically, we want to work ourselves out of a job. Why are we not working with the IADA people anymore? Because they are now at the point where they can read and study God's Word for themselves, and they can teach and evangelize among their own people group.
Our goal is to teach the message of truth and the love of Christ in order to see mature churches established with a body of believers who are teaching, training, and reproducing themselves in the lives of other faithful men and women.
That's right.
And that means always going back to the authority of God's Word, grounding those roots, cementing people in God's truth, and then teaching people to disciple others.
But you may ask, where would I begin? Embarking on the journey of missions can be a daunting task. So how do we equip people to do this big job? It begins with our training program. Ethnos 360 breaks down their training into two phases. The first phase is 2 years of Bible school, where students are grounded in God's Word. The second phase is 2 years of mission training where they learn practical missionary skills and language learning.
The first phase of training is at Ethnos 360 Bible Institute, and that's where Chuck and I work. This is our building up here. Used to be an old hotel. We have them 2 years, and then they go on to the second phase that Chuck talked about, and that's where the Pacettis work. I know a lot of you know them. You guys support them as well. They're in that second phase of training while we're in the first. Just a side note, all of our courses now are online. Thanks to COVID, we had to speed that up a lot. So for those that are not able to come on campus, they can access our classes that way. Right now we have 80 people taking the online, either in the online program or taking individual classes. And there are people from India, South Africa, Senegal, Germany, and Japan taking classes, as well as one person in the Navy who's taking classes while they're on a ship. So that's pretty interesting. Just also a note is that our mission is offering 3 mini courses that are free. So if any of you want to see what it is we do, what our classes are like, you can sign up for them. They don't cost anything, and I think they're 3 or 4 weeks long. I'm not positive about that, but they are offering 3 free classes. And, our goal is to teach the entire Word of God. We want to establish believers in the foundational truths of the Bible with an emphasis on church planting among unreached and least reached people groups.
So over a 2-year period, our classes will go through the entire Bible, book by book. Like we mentioned at the beginning of our presentation, the Bible is a story of a loving God seeking worshipers from every people, tribe, and tongue. We want the young people to sense the urgency and see the purpose of not only growing their knowledge of the Bible, but also sharing the gospel with a dark and needy world. The Bible is a single story, and we want our students to realize their part in that story.
Currently, we have about 250 students who are taking classes on campus in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And Chuck and I just love having a part in training that next generation, because we can take what we've learned working overseas for 12 years, working in a tribe, and we can just be an encouragement and a source of information to them, because these are our new missionaries. Yeah. These are the ones who are going to be going overseas themselves. And we're helping to train that next generation for Christ.
As for our jobs at school, we work in the education department. Naomi is the education office secretary, and I'm the registrar. This means that we're involved in everything related to the academic part of school. This involves setting up classes, enrolling students, keeping track of attendance and grades, doing transcripts, course schedules, and graduation. I also have the privilege of teaching a couple of classes each semester.
And we just love having a part in the training at the beginning. We see these students come and they know very little about the Word of God. But as they hear God's Word, as they study God's Word, as they memorize God's Word, we get to see them start to live God's Word. It's really exciting. And a large part of what we do is discipleship. That's where we get to walk alongside of the students on a day-to-day basis. God has allowed us to be a part of the preparation process as they're partners with us in the gospel. We see them rise up and be able to go overseas to reach least-reached people groups.
And we really appreciate the Bible's emphasis on being involved with the students and having an impact on their lives. Because we live and work right on campus, we get to interact with the students on a daily basis. Having them in class allows us to get to know them academically, but we really love having them over our house and getting to know them on a personal level. That's where really ministering takes place. Just a great opportunity.
And all the time we invest in these students is to see them grow in the Lord with the purpose of leaving EBI and taking that message overseas. God, to tell them about God's love and forgiveness. Like I said, because we've lived overseas, because we've worked in a tribe, we can answer those, you know, questions or fears that these students have. And we're just so thankful for that, because these are the ones who we're handing them the baton now to continue that race. Right now, we're at the point where we're seeing students who have gone through our classes, who are now overseas and living and working in a tribal location. And these pictures that you're seeing are just a few of the faces that we could put up there.
Yeah.
But the reason we wanted to do it is just to say thank you for the part you have. Because when you invest in us, you're also investing in them. And you'll never know what the eternal, you know, benefits and lasting qualities you'll see until you stand before the Lord one day and see the part that you've had in these lives. Like Pastor Dodd said, we started coming here when we were in Practical Bible Training School. It was Twin Orchards Baptist Church down the road in the little building. And you guys started supporting us then in 2000, and you've stood with us for those 23 years, and we can't thank you enough. And so we do just want to say thank you to you this morning.
The Great Commission is for every believer. It's not optional. In Matthew 28, Christ tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Every believer can have a part in taking the gospel to a needy world. Did you know that there are people groups begging for missionaries to come and share the good news about Christ with them? But there's not enough missionaries for all the tribes that come and ask us.
Here's an excerpt from a tribal man in Papua New Guinea. He says, "I am writing because I have something to tell you. I have a big worry that I am not sure what will happen when death comes. I am sorry for myself that I do not know, so I am asking that you send someone to learn our language and teach us this talk so we can know it too. The men and women of the Asahu village are very hungry for this talk, that it will be in our bellies. Please have pity on our lives. We don't know what will happen to us when death is on us."
The task of reaching the world for Christ is far from finished. There are still millions of people from thousands of people groups that have yet to have their first opportunity to hear the gospel in their language. They are still unreached.
An unreached people group is a people group with a distinct culture and language where there is no community of believing Christians able to evangelize the rest of the group without outside help. That means there's less than 2% of true Christ followers. The latest estimates say that there are 6,700 people groups that are considered unreached. That's 2.2 billion people. That means 40% of the world's people groups have no access to the good news that Christ loves them, that he died for them to pay the penalty for their sins.
Not only that, most of them live in the 1040 window and are in places that are closed or restricted in some way. Many of these countries have protected religious cultures where believers face persecution. The need of this world is enormous. People around the world are dying daily without their first opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But don't be intimidated by the task, because God uses ordinary people. Look at the disciples that he chose. Most of them were common fishermen. To the rest of the world, they seemed uneducated, unsophisticated, and unimpressive. But Jesus saw in them the people he needed, didn't he? He saw followers who were had potential for transformation. And, you know, God is just looking for available people, people to step out in faith and believe him for the impossible.
Okay. I just want to encourage you guys this morning a little bit. Like we said, the need of the world is enormous. People around the world are dying every day without Christ. Someone said 150,000 people die every day. 150,000. And I want to remind you that when God makes a promise, he's serious about it. And he always keeps that promise, even if it takes thousands of years. And Jesus promised, "I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it." We have that promise. We can go out into the world in that promise that Christ is building his church. And if God is for us, nobody can be against us. Isn't that right? Even the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And we said, you know, one of the last things Naomi said when she was up here is that God uses ordinary people. And do you realize if God didn't use ordinary people, that God wouldn't be able to use any of us? Have you ever looked into what people have called God's toolbox in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29? It says, brothers and sisters, some of you were. It gives you all these credentials, all these great things that men hold up to in the world. And if you're not this man, God cannot use you. Paul says, some of you were that, but not many of you were. And he says, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. And then it gives the great clause. It says, but God. And always look for that but God in Scripture. That but God, those two words, are a universe of difference. They make all the difference in the world. They really do. It says, but God chose the foolish and the weak and the lowly and the despised for one reason, so that no one can boast before God. God gets all the glory for it. All of it. One day when we all stand before God, He's going to be the one that we're going to say, God, thank you for allowing me to be a part of what you have done in the world. I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve to be in Paraguay for 12 years at all. I didn't. I never did anything that would cause God to say, wow, you know, Chuck, look at Chuck. I'm going to use him because look at Chuck. Nobody ever said that, you know. But God used me there. And then God brought us back to get our kids acclimated, or whatever you want to call it, you know, help them back into the States, because at least two of my kids, three of them went down to Paraguay, but at least two of them pretty much grew up there their entire lives. And you can't just bring the kids back and throw them, you know, to the States. It doesn't work well. And then God had me work at the Bible school. I was in food services for a couple years. And when I went to work there, I told them, I've never cooked a day in my life, really, you know. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll train you, you know, we'll teach you. 2 years later, both of the head cooks left. And they're like, hey, Chuck, how'd you like to be head cook? I've never done a leadership thing like that in my life, you know. And then a couple years later, I saw an opportunity for God to use me in the education office to be the registrar. And that was kind of rough because, you know, when you work in food services and stuff and you work hard, you know, and you can see at the end of the day, this is what I accomplished, you know. And it was a real learning thing for me. You can't do that in the education office. And God taught me all these things, you know. And then I had people start asking me, you know, after a couple years, how come you're not teaching? Why aren't you teaching at the school? And enough people asked me this, and I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, maybe I should investigate why people are asking me. And they gave me an opportunity. And I had never taught 15 days in a row before. 15 days in a row. 1 hour classes. I'm like, God, what are you doing? I can't do this kind of thing, you know. I'm just an ordinary person, you know. God's like, just trust me. My very first class that I taught, I'm still working in the kitchen, and all these students are coming in like, Chuck, I see on the schedule you're going to be teaching this semester. Man, I'm excited. I'm gonna join your class. And person after person after person came in, and they're telling me this. And one guy looked at me and goes, man, you're nervous, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah. You know, I've never done this stuff before, you know. God uses ordinary people. I cannot take any credit for it. I wouldn't even have maybe even tried it unless I knew God wanted me to do it. And it was obvious that God wanted me to do that. It really was. And you can see I still get nervous when I get up to speak. My mouth gets dry and everything. But I believe that's why God uses me at the school. Because He wants people to see that Chuck can't do it. But you know what? Chuck has a big God, and his God can do it. And he can. That's why I want to talk to you about it a little bit today. Have you guys ever seen the video Itau? Do you remember that video? Older couple, they felt God wanted them to go into missions, and they were like 40-some years old, I think. They tried out with a number of mission organizations, and the mission organizations were like, "You guys are too old. You'll be retired by the time you learn the language." And they tried out with new tribes, and they're like, "Yeah, come on, we'll take you guys, you know." That's what New Tribes does. They believe that God can use any person. And this missionary couple went, and for a time there, everybody's like, "I want to be like the missionary that went to the Moak when he presented the gospel to him." They picked that missionary up in the air. They were tossing him in the air. You know, that's like every missionary's dream, you know, to do that. Do you realize that since the 1980s, like 3 or 4 decades have passed, since the gospel reached the Moak, and the gospel spread through every Moak village and their territory, and now the Moak people are sending out their own missionaries to other neighboring people groups, and they've done such a great job. Simple tribal people have been used by God, and they're doing such a great job at reaching their neighboring people groups that they finally had to ask for help when they couldn't translate the Bible into these people's languages. In 30 years, God has brought these people along where they went out to other people groups and reached them for Christ. If God can use simple tribal people, God can use anyone here in this room. Anyone who is willing to just go and trust God for the results. That's all God asks. God does not ask you to be a person of great faith. All He asks is you have faith in a great God. That's all He asks. Do you ever do a little Bible study in Scripture and see the kind of things that God uses? What's the most outrageous thing that God has ever used to speak through? A donkey. God spoke through a donkey. How can He not speak through me? Wait a minute. No, really. There's nothing our God cannot do. Literally. God, like we talked about for a minute, God has chosen the foolish and the weak and the lowly and the despised and the things that are not. Jesus says, "One who is faithful in very little will be faithful in much." I love this one. Someone said, "As a boy, David trusted God in private to kill a lion and a bear. Little thing. So God let him kill a giant in public." So a boy killed a lion. Mustard seed, smaller than all other seeds, when it is grown, it is larger than any other plant, garden plant. God used a woman's pint of perfume to anoint Jesus for his burial. And what did Jesus promise? Because wherever the gospel goes, what she has done will be told. And I remember sitting in the tribe, and I heard one of the pastors of the IOD speak on this passage of Scripture. God keeps His promises. God used 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people, and He did it twice. God used a widow and her 2 small copper coins. And He said she put in more than all the others did. God said remember the Phoenician woman She came up to Jesus. Jesus, heal my daughter. And Jesus says, I can't give the bread of the children to the dogs. He says, and she said, Lord, even the dogs are able to eat the crumbs off the floor. That's all she asked for. Small things, just crumbs. And Jesus said, woman, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. All she asked for was crumbs. God used a jawbone that Samson had, and he killed 1,000 people with it. God used a cloud the size of a man's hand, and the prophet said, Ahab, you better run because the storm's coming after 3 years. Small cloud. Rahab put faith in God and hung a small string up, and God saw her faith from that little string, and he saved her and her family. And James tells us a small rudder will steer a very big ship. And he tells us how the tongue is a small part of the body, but what a fire it makes. A small spark sets a great forest on fire. And I can go on. There's many, many more. God is in the small stuff, you guys. God can use you, and he wants to use you. He wants to use all of his people. And all we have to do is trust him for it. You ever notice how mighty in power God is? It says he spoke and the universe came into being. Just spoke it. That's all he had to do. He parted the Red Sea. And many biblical writers point to this as proof of God's power and his goodness. He parted the Red Sea and his people walked through on dry land. God saved Daniel from the lion's den. He closed the mouth of those lions. He spent the night in the lion's den. He saved the 3 Hebrew young men from the fiery furnace. We mentioned David, the boy, killing the giant. God made the sun stand still until his people won the battle. Amazing! Our God can make the sun stand still. God can even make the sun back up in its orbit. 10 spaces, it says in Isaiah 38. And Jesus walked on water. A man walked on water. What can our God do? What can't our God do through us? And Jesus said, Peter, you need money? Go fishing. First fish you pull out, there'll be a coin in his mouth. God can supply all our needs like that. Nothing our God cannot do. Hudson Taylor said, in all our calculations, we must calculate on God's faithfulness. Daniel 11:32 in the New King James says, the people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. That's you. The people who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. Trust God. Try him and see what he can do. I never thought I would do the things I have done. I really don't. I never thought it. And look what God has done. It's amazing. Our God is amazing. And you may say, oh man, I just don't have that great faith. You know, I don't have it. Timothy Keller tells a story. He says, the faith that changes our lives and connects us to God is best conveyed by the word trust. Imagine you are on a high cliff and you lose your footing and begin to fall. But right beside you as you fall is a branch sticking out of the edge of a cliff. It's your only hope and it's more than strong enough to support your weight. If your mind is convinced that it can support you, but you don't actually reach out and grab that branch, you're lost. But If your mind is filled with doubts and uncertainty that it can, and you reach out anyway and grab the branch, you'll be saved. It's not the strength of your faith, but the object of your faith that actually saves you. Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. That's all God asks. Have strength. Have that faith in the strong branch. That branch is our God. What can our God do? What can't He do? He's amazing. Imagine. Just imagine having the faith in your God like the prophet Jonah had. You may think, prophet Jonah? Didn't he disobey God and run away? Yeah, he did. But do you know why Jonah ran away? Listen. Oh, here it is. After Jonah went and preached to the people of Nineveh, and he waited to see what would happen, and the people repented, and God saw their faith. And Jonah says to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. He says, because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah ran because he knew that if he went to his enemy and shared God's message with them and they turned and had faith, that God would forgive them. And Jonah wanted anything but that. So he ran. Imagine if God's people today had faith in their God, that if I went down to the corner to that convenience store and I witnessed to the guy behind the counter, I shared the gospel with him, and he repented that God would save him. If he believed in God's message, that God would forgive him. Imagine having faith like that and going and sharing the gospel like Jonah did. We can. We can share the gospel with people like that. We go and preach. If they turn, God will save them because God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And that's how missionaries go overseas. It doesn't depend any on me. I go, my coworker shares the gospel, you know, we plant the seed, and God makes it grow. It doesn't depend on me. All God wants is me to have faith in that strong branch and reach out and grab that. And that's all God wants. And one of my favorite authors is Crawford Lawrence. He has a book on leadership as an identity. If you want your faith to really be challenged and strengthened, read his book. He says, the premise of the book is God loves to be depended upon. So he gives imperfect, inadequate humans impossible tasks to do. And watch what our God does. Just watch. He says there's always a gap between what we have and what God wants done. We can't always see how it will be done. You know, because in my own strength, it won't be done. We can either allow the magnitude of the challenge that God gives us to overwhelm us, or surrender all our deficiencies and acknowledge that the only way I can do this is if God comes through for me. Our God loves to be depended upon. It reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on what I know or what I think I know or what I think I can do. All it doesn't matter. God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all that you are. That's all he asks. Don't depend on your own understanding. Depend on God. Depend on God. That's what I want to leave you guys with. God uses ordinary, average people. Even Jim Elliot. You guys know who Jim Elliot is? He went to the Aka Indians, and him and his co-workers were killed by the Aka Indians. He says, we are so utterly ordinary, so commonplace, while we profess to know a power the 20th century has not learned to reckon with. Trust God and see what He will do through you. Pastor Dunn.
Chuck and Naomi for sharing what the Lord has done and giving us a little bit of a challenge, isn't it? Ordinary people. As I was listening, I was noting how many of our partners in ministry are in connection with unreached people groups. Of course, there's Chuck and Naomi Smith, Jim and Elisa Pacetti, who he mentioned, and then there's Kingdom Air Corps, right? They're training pilots to go to places where there's unreached people group. And then also the Zooks. Those Zooks are involved with that same concept of reaching unreached people group. Now, you might say, well, those people groups are, you know, far places in different world. Let me tell you, there's unreached people groups right around you. Some of you know I sometimes transport children here and there. And one Christmas time I was transporting a young girl, and I asked her about Christmas. She had no idea whose birthday it was. She didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so another kind of group that we are partners with is Child Evangelism Fellowship. There's children in our schools that know nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another outreach as well. So God can use any one of us. Some of you are going to Kingdom Air Corps a little later, but there are people around us that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're glad that you're supporting and training more people to do, to reach different parts of the world. So they have a table out there, and if you have some questions for them and you want to learn a little bit more, they'll be there. We're glad to have them as our partners, and we'll continue to pray. They have a prayer card out there. A fairly new one that they will look like next year. That's like, I'm kidding about that. But so let's just bow in a closing word of prayer and just consider what does the Lord want me to do? We can all pray. We can all give. Some of us can go as well and go where you at. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to hear about the ministry of Ethnos 360, and the training that Chuck and Naomi have a part in right now to train and help these young couples and these people learn more about your word so they can be better equipped to share that wherever you lead them. We thank you for the fact that you have used them not just in Paraguay, but now in training others. And we thank you for the challenge we have here this morning, that you use ordinary people to do impossible things because you are the strength, you're the power behind it. Your word that you've given us is a powerful word. The message we have is a message of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we go out this week, as we talk with people, as we connect with people, help us to be aware of opportunities you give us to do what only you can do through us. Thank you for this time together this morning, and we pray you'll give us a good week. We ask this in your name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Have a great week.